Turned from following Philistines and was told, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of En Gedi." Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of Israel and went to seek David and his men in front of the wild goats' rocks. He came to the sheepfolds by the way where there was a cave, and Saul went in to relieve himself. Now David and his men were in the cave, sitting in the innermost parts of the cave, and the men of David said to him, "Here is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I give your enemy into your hand. You shall do to him as it seems good to you.'" David arose and stealthily cut off the skirt of Saul's robe. And afterward, David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said to his men, "The Lord forbid I should do this to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put forth my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed." David persuaded his men with these words and did not permit them to attack Saul. And Saul rose up and left the cave and went upon his way. Afterward, David came also, arose, and went out of the cave and called after Saul, "My lord the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed with his face to the earth and did obeisance. Every Sunday, you and I pray for the first and foremost of the Christian virtues. Every Sunday, when we pray the Lord's Prayer and say the words, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," we ask God for the virtue of prudence, wisdom. Every Sunday, we ask God to allow our powers of reason, our rational capabilities, our reflective mind, not to be overwhelmed by the circumstances that life puts before us. And yet in that prayer we acknowledge that life does often confuse us and mystify us, bewilder us. And we ask for the power of God to make right choices. That's what David is seeking in this moment. David, who knows that his life is sought by Saul. On this Father's Day, we witness a man acting badly. King Saul, who once was David's confidant, once had considered David his protege, but over time had come to suspect that he was angling for Saul's throne and acting out of paranoia and insecurity. He had sought David's life, and David had had to flee with his men into the wilderness. And Saul had received word that David was hanging out near the Dead Sea caves and selected 3,000 soldiers to go and find him and quench his life. But Saul was an old man. It means he had to go to the bathroom pretty often. And in the King James Version, he turned aside, which meant he went into the latrine, which in this case happened to be a cave. The very cave in which David and his men were hiding. Remember that line from Casablanca? All the gin joints in all the world, and she has to walk into this one? All the thousands of caves in En Gedi, and Saul has to come into theirs? And David's men think God has given him an opportunity to wreak vengeance on his oppressor. David, now is the chance to kill Saul. We've got him literally with his pants down. And David wrestles with the moment. Do I kill him? Do I spare him? Do I ignore him? God has given me this moment. What is the right thing to do? And he is not sure. He seeks the virtue of wisdom, prudence. St. Augustine said that virtue is the art of right living. David wants to live right. He wants to do the right thing, but to do the right thing, he must think the right thing. What is the virtue that God can give him in this moment? How can he find a right path? He throws himself upon the Spirit of God for guidance. Notice what he does not do. He does not act rashly. There is Saul, vulnerable. There is Saul who has pursued David. There is Saul who wants to kill him. And David does not rush out and take Saul's life, even as his men encourage him to do so. He does not act rashly. David understands the long view of things. He realizes that his goal is not to take Saul's life. His goal is to prove his innocence, to clear his name. David can see a day when he might indeed be king. He is not angling for Saul's throne. He is not a threat that Saul thinks he is, but he can foresee a day when he is king. But if he acts rashly, if he goes and snuffs out Saul's life, that ambition is ruined. So he deliberates. He reflects, what is my mission? My mission is to act in love. I need to spare Saul. But spare him in a way he'll know that he's been spared. And in a flash of insight, David acts decisively. He thinks deliberately, but he acts decisively. He goes and snips off a section of Saul's robe and sneaks back into the cave. Wisdom deliberates. Wisdom does not act on impulse. It doesn't seek immediate gratification. But having deliberated, it acts decisively. And David's extraordinary moment paved the way for the rest of the future that would unfold before him. Wisdom deliberates. It's decisive, but it also understands that even a right action carries a shadow side. Life is complex, and even when you do the right thing, a shadow side is often cast. David goes back to his men, and he is overcome with guilt. He's overcome with a sense of having done something to dishonor the Lord's anointed. And part of that is because he draws from the wisdom of memory. Part of prudence is not simply acting on the moment, but it's reflecting upon the lessons of the past. And Paul sees Saul not as he is, but as he was. The day David, a young shepherd boy, carried fruits and gifts to Saul because his father so respected them. Saul, who was then a mighty warrior who had united Israel, who stood powerful and good. Saul, who gave David his chance. Saul, who took David under wing. David looks at Saul not as he is, but as he was at his best, and wants to treat him honorably. Has Saul changed? Yes. Has he acted in an ignoble fashion? Yes. But David pauses to remember what Saul was and honors that memory. And yet, things have changed. Saul is not who he was. David has changed. David is not who he was. Their relationship, while wonderful in the past, is not what it was. To act simply on the past would be foolish. David has to account for the changing conditions and had the creativity to envision a new future. In that moment, even as he considers the shadow side of his action, David is extraordinarily open to God's leadership. He's teachable. He's coachable. He's curious about God's guidance. That's wisdom. On this Father's Day, on the last day of the U.S. Open golf tournament, I can't help but think of a past U.S. Open champion, the late Payne Stewart. 1989, at Augusta National, there were three people on the driving range. I was one of them. I wasn't actually on the range, unfortunately. I was the only person in the stands. And there on the driving range was an older man and this young, extraordinarily talented golfer named Payne Stewart. Three of us. Payne Stewart had injured his wrist. He wasn't in the Masters. But I knew who he was. He was known for two things. Being extraordinarily arrogant and amazingly talented, but unfulfilled potential. But there on that range, I watched the supposedly arrogant man open himself up like a teenager, like a child to this teacher. I couldn't believe his humility. I couldn't believe his curiosity. Couldn't believe his openness. Here this man, known for his arrogance, had completely humbled himself to this older man. Payne Stewart was 10 times the golfer this old man was. But Payne Stewart knew he wouldn't progress unless he opened himself up to this man's wisdom. Curiosity, flexibility, openness, teachability, coachability, all of that is involved in prudence. And a few months later, with a healed wrist, Payne Stewart won his first major, the 1989 PGA. Genius, a wise man once said, genius is simply the ability to be taught. Funny thing, isn't it? In our day and age, prudence has a negative connotation. You say, well, he acted prudently. The implication is he acted somewhat cowardly in a cunning and shrewd manner, in a self-serving fashion. To take the prudent course is to take the timid, timorous course. No. That's not Christian prudence. David sees Saul leaving the cave and he acts decisively. He runs out and calls out Saul's name, "My Lord, my King," and then falls prostrate before him. That's not a self-serving act. That's not a cowardly act. That's an act of courage. But then he shows Saul the piece of cloth that he has snipped from Saul's own robe, and Saul's eyes are opened. David has given mercy to him when he had extended none to his protege. And Saul is overcome with remorse and extends to David the blessing he otherwise would have withheld. David, you will do what I could not. It will be you who will unite the kingdom. It will be you who will be a successful king. It will be you who will accomplish what I was unable to do. Why did David act in such a fashion? Because he knew that he must be informed by love. The Christian virtue of prudence is always informed by faith, hope, love. We call Christ our Savior. But it doesn't just mean He died for us. It means Christ is our role model. He patterns for us the way we are to live. And the way Christ lived is not self-serving, it's not timid, it's not timorous, it's not cowardly. It's bold and decisive, wisdom in action. That is our role model for life. Why talk about wisdom? Because ours is a culture obsessed with intelligence. We have all kinds of measures to measure intelligence. SAT scores, grade point average, class standing, Sudoku puzzles. IQ test. But intelligence does not equal wisdom. Some years ago, I was called to do a funeral for a young man I had just barely met who took his own life, an absolutely brilliant man. And riding to the cemetery with a friend of his, I said, "Tell me a little bit about him." He said, "He was the most intelligent person I've ever met, but he could not cope with the challenges of real life." How true that is of so many extraordinarily intelligent people. Give them a test and their intelligence will find the right answer. But put them amidst the circumstances of real life and they have no wisdom from which to draw. We have been given the virtue as we depend upon our God. Lean not to your own intelligence. Lean not to your own understanding. But acknowledge God in all your paths, and He will direct your ways. Wisdom. The David who had a brilliant stroke of sparing a king, but letting him know he was spared, hearkened back to a lesson that served as the center of his faith. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and He shall direct my paths. The Lord is our shepherd. Christ is our role model. And on Him, when we depend, He gives us the virtue of right acting, rooted in the right thinking. Prudence, the first of Christian characteristics. May we draw from that virtue every single day. May we pray together. Lord, You throw us into situations that we do not fully understand. The right path is not always clear to us. Inform our thought. Illumine our reasoning. Empower our capabilities that we might choose the road that You would have us take. Through our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.